Good morning. It was my privilege to be with you this morning. I'm going to ask if I can share my screen. I want to show a little bit of a PowerPoint. And I appreciate that. Wonderful. Well, good morning. It's my privilege to be with you again this morning. I hope my voice holds out. Still struggling a little bit with it, but it's sounding a little bit better this morning. And we're looking forward to the conclusion later on, the conclusion of Daily Vacation Bible School at 2:30. Well, let's take our Bibles and turn to James chapter 2. James chapter 2, and I want to read a few verses from the book of James. We are going to look together at this important little section, and I hope it's a help to you. Sometimes people struggle with this passage, and I thought we would just take a little look at it, and it's a very important passage in the area of salvation. Some people get very confused with James chapter 2. And so you have your Bibles open. Let's begin to read at verse 14. What doth it profit, my brethren? So right at the outset, we know these are believers. As he says, brethren, believers. What does it profit, my brethren, though a man say he is faith and have not works? Can faith save him? Now I'm reading from the King James. I might say it this way, can such a faith save him? We know that faith saves, but can such a faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked or destitute of daily food, and one of you say, depart in peace, be warmed and filled, notwithstanding, you give him not those things which are needful for the body, even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without works, and I will show you my faith by my works. And wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Well, let's begin our time with a word of prayer. Our God and Father, we thank you for our time together. We thank you for the Lord Jesus. And we would pray, Father, that you would lead us and guide us in our time this morning and our time in the next session at the Family Bible Hour. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. James 2:14. What does it profit, my brethren, if someone say he has faith? Can that kind of faith or that faith save him? Well, sometimes people look at the book of Romans, and they rightfully look at Romans 3:28. We hold that one is justified from apart from the works of the law. That's true. That's very true. We're not justified by works. There's no Christian, there's no Bible teacher, there's no scholar that would say we're justified by works. No, we're justified apart from the works of the law. James is not saying we're justified by works. James is saying, what kind of faith do you have? You see, a person is justified by works and not by faith alone. That's verse 24. Well, let's examine this a little bit together. Martin Luther, you know, he struggled with the book of James. He says it's an epistle straw. It's weak compared to others. There's nothing of the nature of the gospel in it. Well, we beg to differ with our brother Martin Luther. I think we need to look at it in a proper sense. And so we want to do that this morning. Now, first of all, I want to say this. There are many people that misunderstand the gospel and misunderstand. And so that's why this this chapter of James is very important. There was a study done in 2018 by Lifeway Ministries. That's a Southern Baptist ministry in the United States. They did a survey and they found that 74% of Christians, people who are evangelical Christians, believe they must contribute to their own salvation. This is clearly not biblical. They asked an evangelist one time what he contributed to his salvation. He said, I contribute the sin, and the Lord Jesus contributes the saving. And that's right. We don't contribute anything. So this is an incorrect viewpoint, 74%. Many misunderstand this. Look down at this. My good deeds help earn my place in heaven. Many, that's 39% of people. That's too many. So it's clearly we see that this is an important subject. And so we're going to dive into it this morning. Now, let's begin to think a little bit about the relationship between James and Paul. The Bible does not give the slightest hint of disagreement between Paul and James. We know they interacted with each other. And we don't find at all Paul referring to James in any way that he did not possess the right understanding of the gospel. They certainly met in Acts 15 as they worked out the whole issue between law and grace and salvation. It's widely agreed that James is the first book written of the scriptures, of the New Testament. It was early, 65 AD. And Paul had all the time to look at the book of James and disagree with it if he wanted to. But he never wrote anything in disagreement with the book of James. That's important. That's very interesting. They were friends. They met in Acts 15. In Galatia, in the book of Galatians, chapter 2, verse 9, James extends to Paul the right hand of fellowship. So they were good friends. They knew each other. We don't see any disagreement in their doctrine. And so when we go to the book of James, we have to come to the conclusion that Paul had no problem with it. We need to look at it in the proper light. So let's do that today. First thing is the clear teaching of Scripture. Scripture clearly teaches salvation is by faith. Romans 4:5. But to him who does not work but believes on him, God justifies the ungodly by faith. His faith is accounted for righteousness. Very clear. By grace, for by grace have you been saved through faith, that not of yourselves is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. James 3:5. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but by his mercy he saved us. And of course, Romans 5:1. Having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So we see clearly, clear statement of Scripture, salvation is by faith alone. We reject any kind of viewpoint that rejects salvation by faith. We declare that salvation is not by, if we declare salvation not by grace through faith, we're unbiblical. We also declare the cross is not sufficient. The once for all salvation in the Lord Jesus, if we have to do something in addition, then the cross wasn't sufficient. And we declare that no one will be saved. If salvation depends upon us in some way, we will always fall short. I'd like to say this. If salvation was 99% upon the Lord Jesus and 1% upon us, we still couldn't do it. We couldn't do the 1%. We couldn't keep our side of it. If we were to pray a 5-word prayer, if our salvation was dependent upon praying a 5-word prayer every day, we'd fall short. Even 6 days of the week, we'd fall short. If we had to read one Bible verse, we would miss. You know that because I miss reading, I miss praying. We mean to do it as often as we can, but we miss because of our human nature. If it was dependent on us in any fashion, no one would ever be saved. Salvation math. Saving faith leads to works. Works prior to faith is unbiblical. Faith, if you say then, but you have to do works to be saved, unbiblical. If it equals salvation. Biblical, faith in Christ equals salvation. And the moment we believe we're saved, we don't have to do anything. We don't have to do works for 5 years, 1 year, 5 months, 5 days. We don't be baptized. We should be baptized. It's a New Testament pattern to be baptized, but that's not part of salvation. The moment we believe, nothing added, nothing afterwards is needed for salvation. Justification and our growth in grace, sanctification, are kept separate. We need to watch. The Roman Catholic Church mixes them together. Church of Christ mixes them together. The Church of the Latter-day Saints mixes them together. We keep them separate. Works, sanctification, growth in grace is separate from salvation. It follows salvation, but it's separate. Well, what is the solution to this debate? Well, the one word, the same one word can have different meanings. And you know that from just the everyday use. Sometimes we confuse people who are not native English speakers because one word can have different meanings. So when we have the word justified, it can have more than one meaning. Now, let me give you the word rock in the English language. The word rock can have a number of meanings. For instance, could mean a stone. But that's not the only meaning. We may be usually we're thinking of a stone, but it's not the only meaning. Some people think it's music. Did you hear that rock last night? Well, they're thinking about music, not about a stone thrown through a window. Some people, from their perspective, they're thinking of music. Sometimes as a compliment, I say to Josh or someone, they say, you know, hey, you rock. The young person says to me, hey, Mr. Dunlap, you rock. Well, that's a compliment. That's another usage of the word rock. A rocking chair in verb form. A person can be called rock. So there's a lot of different meanings. And the same thing is true about the word justification. There's two kinds of meanings in the scriptures. Faith that Paul uses, by faith we are declared righteous. But then James uses another meaning. And that meaning means to prove. We might say this in English, justify your actions. I come home when I'm a young man driving the car. I come home with no gasoline in the gas tank. My father says, justify your actions. Prove to me why you did this. What is the justification for your actions? Well, that's something different. That's the idea of proving, justifying. Why did you do something? And I want to suggest that's what James is talking about. Words can have different different words can mean the same thing. Now, Paul says some of the same kinds of things as James said, but with different words. Now, two friends are speaking, one from the United States and one from Canada, one from the United States and one from the UK. The man from the UK says to his friend, hey, let's play football. The American says, no, I don't want to play football. Let's play soccer. They're talking about the same thing. They're talking about exactly the same thing. They're arguing over words, but they're agreeing. James says, without works, faith is dead. Paul is saying, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Different words, but he's saying the same thing. Both are saying about the same thing. Those who are saved should live a transformed life. Different words meaning the same thing. Different words can have different meanings, but words can have the same meaning. Different words can have the same meaning. So there was no disagreement with Paul. There's no disagreement with that Paul had with James. They're using different words. And James has given a different meaning to the word justify. So let's dig into this a little further. James is speaking about the kind of faith that saves in his chapter. Paul is speaking as a legal, in a more legal fashion. And he is making a statement. We are saved by faith, not by works. A general legal statement. James is talking more of a practical way. James is saying true faith, and he believes in true faith and salvation by faith, is the kind of faith that will lead to works. James is saying, if your life doesn't lead to works, what kind of faith do you have? You have a dead faith, a faith that's not productive. Works, let me rephrase this. Works is not the root, is not the root of saving faith, but it's the fruit of saving faith. Change my taking notes. It's not the root, but it's the fruit of saving faith. There must be some kind of evidence. James says in 2:14, if any man says, I have faith, where is the evidence in his life? We can't go around just saying, I have faith. We just can't go around saying, oh, I love to play American football. I think American football is great. I think I love the Super Bowl. I love all that. But then you say, who is Tom Brady? And they have no idea. Say, who won the Super Bowl? They have no idea. There's no evidence. He says one thing, but there's no evidence in his life. James says, what does it profit, brethren, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? The NIV says, can that kind of faith, the NASB, can such a faith save him? James is talking about the kind of faith. Let me look at a couple of quotations of men of faith in the past. Lehman Strauss, a man who I actually heard speaking many years ago, he says this: faith to many is giving mental assent to fact, is head knowledge. Mental assent to Christian truth does not save us from sins or make us a Christian. Mental assent and head knowledge. Somebody says, yes, I believe Jesus exists. Yes, I believe what I read in Scripture. That's head knowledge. It's not heart knowledge. It's not true faith. It doesn't transform. But he says, Lehman Strauss, but he continues to say, dead faith is both unproductive and unprofitable. When one has faith that works, he will show a life of works of faith. Charles Ryrie, every Christian will bear spiritual fruit. Somewhere, sometime, somehow. That's what James is saying. He will bear fruit. Dead faith is unproductive. I'm sorry. Every born-again believer will be fruitful. Not to be fruitless, to be fruitful. It's not to be fruitful, it's to be faithless without faith, and therefore an unbeliever. So James is talking about the kind of faith that we have. I want to ask you, what kind of faith do you have? Are you bearing fruit? Do you see transformation in your life? Do you see a change in your life? Now let's go to the latter part of this passage, and then we'll close in prayer. Our time is drawing to a close. There's two illustrations, one of Abraham, one of Rahab, near the end of the chapter. It begins in verse 21 down to 26. There's two illustrations. The first illustration that is made is about Abraham offering his son Isaac. This is works. This is not faith. This is not saving faith. Now, Abraham was saved in Genesis 15. And the writer of James, the James writes this in verse 23. Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. He was called a friend of God. This is when he was saved. Genesis 15, verse 7. But his works were seen in Genesis 22, when God said, offer thy son, thine only son, thy son, whom you love. And we see Abraham getting up early the next morning, getting Isaac, and they go out to Mount Moriah with the wood, the fire, and the knife. James is saying there's both. We need to have both, saving faith and works. Verse 22, about Abraham, James says, see how faith wrought with works. Faith was made perfect. You can't just have the one. You've got to have the other. There's got to be some response, some obedience, some fruit in your life. It's wonderful to see that. When a person comes to faith in the Lord Jesus, wonderful to see that. This morning I was at our chapel 3 hours earlier than you were here, or time change at least. And we had a family from Vacation Bible School. In fact, she's come 3 times. We're very encouraged by that. And I had a chance to talk to her afterwards. There seemed to be faith. There seems to be desire. There seems to be desire to serve. And her 2 boys, a desire. And so that's what we have, faith and works. Rahab, the same thing. In Joshua chapter 2, we have the saving. Joshua 2, 1, 10 and 11. And then Rahab has the works, when she protects the two spies. And lets them down over the wall. There's works. And so we see that Abraham and Rahab have both. And a believer needs to have both. Now, I want to close with this. We need to preach a gospel that is pure. Gospel that doesn't have works, but we need to emphasize works. You need to emphasize living for the Lord. You need to emphasize this. There was a theology in the 1990s. It's called the Emerging Church. The Emerging Church didn't talk about any transformation, any works, any fruit, any life. you could stay, you can continue on any kind of lifestyle you would like. Sexual immorality, drug use, Eastern philosophy, that was okay. There was no sanctification. None of that. When a person is saved, there needs to be a change in their lives. Four things for those who are know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. Be ready to respond what you read in the Bible. When we read the Bible, it should be in our hearts a desire to say, yes, Lord. Yes, I want to do as much as possible I see in your word. Be ready to say no to the world. No to sin when it opposes the Bible. And be ready to love Christ and other believers. These are some of the works, some of the evidences that you have the right kind of faith. Let's bow in a word of prayer. Our God and Father, we thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for what James says. We thank you for what the Apostle Paul says. We thank you, the Apostle Paul says, should I continue in sin? Romans chapter 6. And he says, God forbid. James says the same thing. Faith without works is dead. Faith without living for the Lord Jesus is not true faith. Can such a faith save us? And so, Father, may we be people of faith. If we don't see a transformation in our lives, we should examine our lives. If we don't have a heart to obey God, we should examine our lives. If we don't have a heart to worship the Lord, we should examine our lives. Father, we pray that as we preach the gospel, teach it to young people, stress it, Father, may we be people of God who are living, serving, worshiping, loving, giving ourselves to the purposes of God. Wherever we live, in some cases, as missionaries overseas, Father, use us. Bless our efforts. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.